WRKC is proud to present the second season of The Adventures of Harry Flynn. The Adventures of Harry Flynn is written, performed, and directed by King's students. We now present our 19th episode, Case Files, Volume 1. Our first case file is entitled, At What Cost?
The 20-minute drive into the city never gets any friendlier. The same old broken-down people trudge down the street against the same old broken-down buildings as their backdrop. Am I the only one who remembers what this place used to offer? No matter. It's not that place to me or anyone else anymore. There was always this quiet charm about the city, before boys like me had to worry about the great wars and great depressions that loomed on the horizon. Soon I was a young man, and like so many of my friends and family in these hard times, hope withered away. And when you take away people's hopes, you take away what makes them people.
This marks the third consecutive month in which the store was robbed. In other news...
I never really liked the justice system, but with the job market being as it was, law school was the only way I'd ever make myself respectable. It was either that or end up robbing stores with the rest of the throng. From my library window, I watched as people grew tired of the times. Tired of the despair. Tired of being tired. Mobs were set up to get their fair share, and not even the police could escape it. So here I am, District Attorney Robert Murdoch, in the city where I grew up. And no matter how many collisionis we bust, there's an endless number of others to replace them. Big and small time. I didn't have much time to dally at my office. Today was the day I get another scumbag off the streets for the rest of his life. My secretary Casey didn't waste any time filling me in on the rest of the day.
Good morning, Mr. Murdoch. I'm sure you know the conclusion of the Campbell trial is in 45 minutes, but just a reminder that you're scheduled to meet with Judge Treble regarding that Popolarski brothers case at 1 p.m. After that...
Thank you, Casey. One thing at a time. The Campbell trial shouldn't take more than an hour. I'll be back in plenty of time to prepare for the rest of the day.
You going to win? This is a big case.
Every case is the biggest case I'll ever see. Don't let them fool you. They're all guilty in the end. It wasn't easy without Commissioner Graham's testimony, but there's no chance I lose. Did his family receive my condolences?
They did. They called this morning to thank you.
Graham's position had not yet been filled. Poor bastard. Why'd he have to go and get killed? He was one of the only cops worth a damn in the city. Probably one of about 24 doing what they're paid to do. Well... doing what the city pays them to do anyway. Excuse me, Casey. I'll be back after some street cleaning. All rise for the Honorable Judge Gray.
Be seated. Court is now in session. Mr. Bateman, does the defense wish to call any more witnesses?
No, Your Honor. The defense rests.
Very well. Mr. Murdoch, your closing statement.
I stood up and made the slow walk to the 12 people who were unlucky enough to sit through this horrific ordeal. As I looked about, I spotted one Harry Flynn seated in the back of the courtroom. These private investigators. They're a dime a dozen. And it's the worst dime I ever spent. Even the best of them are hardly ever any help. Their appeal baffles me. But knowing what I do about the city and the blue that are supposed to protect it, I suppose I can't blame the public for hiring them. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, Mr. Bateman has given Matthew Campbell a haircut and a shiny suit. He used every watercolor he has to distract you all with beautiful illustrations of what Matthew Campbell could have been, if only he were sane. But ladies and gentlemen, make no mistake about it. This man knew exactly what he was doing when he brutally slaughtered at least 4 girls between the ages of 21 and 27 in a 2-month period.
Objection. Speculation.
Sustained. Choose your words carefully, Mr. Murdoch. I know you don't want a mistrial.
Ladies and gentlemen... this man knew exactly what he was doing when he created aliases with the intent of eluding the authorities. This man knew exactly how to painfully kill the most helpless. We all know he's done it. Now return a guilty plea, and prove that he knows he's done it too. Responsibility for your actions is not something you can choose. Make Matthew Campbell take responsibility. It's something those 4 women will never live to see him do.
Mr. Bateman, your closing statement?
Look at the man seated in that chair. His blue eyes always shifting. His hands constantly clenching. This man, Matthew Campbell, is not well. Normal people, they don't do these things. Thinking people, they don't do these things. None of you jurors are capable of doing any part of what Mr. Campbell did. And that is because you think. You're rational human beings, but Mr. Campbell...
I am a thinking man, Bateman.
You will not speak unless spoken to, is that clear? Continue, Mr. Bateman.
My client deserves compassion. He's like a child who doesn't think of right or wrong when he grabs a candy piece from the candy store.
Do not call me a child.
At this rate, I didn't even need to present a closing argument. Campbell was going to convict himself.
Mr. Campbell, be quiet. You are not representing yourself, and you do not have the right to speak at this time.
Then I want to represent myself.
Matthew, don't do this.
You realize the consequences of your decision.
I do. You're fired, Coy.
Bailiff, please escort Mr. Bateman out of the courtroom. Mr. Campbell. Your closing statement.
I am no different from any one of you. I am a simple man who enjoys doing simple things. But I am not a child, and I am not insane. The state has done a great job setting me up for this, these murders. They'll parade all these voodoo fingerprints and evidence, but they're just afraid to admit their own incompetence. They don't know who's done them, so they pin them on me. Bateman was in on it too. They all are. Don't fall into their trap. I won't. I'm a thinker. I'm a real man, and I will not apologize for being either.
After such a well-thought-out argument like that, you'd have to be insane to convict. But apparently every person on that jury was insane. Or at least they were for the 40 minutes that deliberations took place.
Have the people reached a verdict?
We have, Your Honor.
On the charge of murder in the first degree of Megan Morgan.
We, the people of the jury, find the defendant, Matthew Campbell, guilty.
On the charge of murder in the first degree.
After a string of guilties, and my meeting regarding the Popularskis, I took the sullen drive back to my apartment, where my fiancé Rose and my dinner were waiting for me.
Robert, what's wrong?
Don't, Rose.
Robert.
What?
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
I'm only going to ask one more time.
Rose, this city, it's so polluted. It's dark, it's dirty, and it could use a few more parks in place of the pool halls and bars. I didn't go to law school to watch as my home is overtaken with the worst kinds of thugs, kingpins and murderers. Where do the good people and the goodwill in the city go?
They're still there, Robert. You know they are.
I know.
I don't know if I can take this anymore. How many times are we going to have this conversation? Robert, this profession, it's killing you.
No. This profession is killing Matthew Campbell.
You're going for the death penalty?
Yes.
Robert, have you forgotten how guilty you felt about—
No, Rose. I haven't forgotten. And I still feel guilty. I feel guilty about tomorrow. Tomorrow, I have to ask 12 people to consent to killing a man.
You don't have to.
I do. It's the only way things are going to get better.
Then why do you feel so guilty? I love you, Robert. Good night.
I love you too, Rose.
Court is in session. What is the state seeking?
The state is requesting the death penalty.
That's cruel and excessive. My client can easily serve his sentence in prison for the rest of his life.
That's for the jury to decide, Mr. Bateman. Oh, and Mr. Bateman, keep Mr. Campbell under control, lest you embarrass this court and lose your job again.
Sentencing was a microcosm of the trial all over again, and it was obvious that the jury had not forgotten Matthew's rant. I don't think they ever will. In just over 2 hours, the foreman announced Campbell would receive the death penalty. I picked up my briefcase and headed for the door in the back of the courtroom. I noticed the future widow Campbell conversing with Harry Flynn. His eyes looked bloodshot, his face sunken, but it wasn't from alcohol. This trial and this dog of a man had affected him as it had me. He left after a few brief words and I tried to pass Ms. Campbell.
Excuse me, Mr. Murdoch?
Yes?
Don't blame yourself.
I didn't know what to say, so I kept on walking. I couldn't find the energy or the proper reply to Ellen's request, and I had a feeling the drive home would be longer than usual today. My bed sat empty, unused from the night before. I couldn't afford another sleepless day, so I laid down. But as I looked up at my ceiling for the next hour, I couldn't help but compare how I was closing my eyes tonight voluntarily. But someday, Matthew Campbell's eyes would be closed for him. Rose was right. This job was killing me. Better me than the city. That's just the price you pay.
We'll return for part 2 of Case Files, Volume 1. But first, a word from our sponsor.
Now that is a lot of nuts.
That might be the single biggest amount of nuts I have ever seen.
I gotta tell somebody about this. Hey, Frank!
Yeah?
Look at all these nuts!
That's a lot of nuts!
I know!
That's more nuts than you can shake a stick at!
Are you sure?
Ooh, come to think of it.
Have you ever found yourself in a situation like this? Of course you have. Everyone can struggle with the proper implementation of an idiomatic expression, but struggle no more with right shake.
With what?
I don't know, he lost me at proper.
Right shake is a revolutionary new tool in colloquial conversation enhancing, which allows you to determine if there's enough of an object, person, or quality to shake a stick at.
How does it work?
Why, I'll show you. Excuse me, ma'am?
Yes?
That's quite a large number of babies you have there.
You're telling me.
How many babies would you say you have there?
14.
You don't have to count?
Each one hurt more than the one before it. You don't forget pain like that?
I will choose to ignore that statement.
Well, what do you want?
Mr. Father, would you say that you have more babies that you could shake a stick at?
I'd have to go with yes.
Using right shake, you simply input the object or persons you want to know about, and the number you currently have, and... what's this? Right Shake has determined that you do not have more babies than you could shake a stick at. You'd actually need 19 babies. See, it's that simple.
Wow, how insanely impractical.
That's right! And you could have a right shake of your own for just two payments of 42 cents. Just call 1-800-SHAKE-ME. That's 1-800-SHAKE-ME. Right shake. More value that you could shake a stick at.
It says you could shake 7 sticks at that value.
Damn thing's broken. But yours won't be. Right shake. Buy one now.
We now present our second case file, The City's Finest.
Another day. I got ready in my usual way. Alone. Still not used to it. It was a short marriage, but I thought that it was going swell. No, it was, until she met that... No, I don't want to get into it. I sat down at a vacant table to an empty bowl of what was supposed to be oatmeal, which I forgot to make. I'll just grab something down in the break room. I took the slight jaunt down to the station, not wanting to waste money on gas. Can you blame me? It's at 10 cents per gallon now. I took the back entrance, the one that led directly to the locker rooms.
Hey, Trav.
Hey, Brody.
Did you hear they're announcing who got commissioner today?
No, I didn't.
Well, they are. But don't get your hopes up. I'm a shoo-in.
Well, good for you. See you in a bit. Brody slapped me on the back and went off to the grimy police-provided showers. I went to the break room to grab some bad coffee and a stale donut. Nothing better for the city's finest. I ran into Officer Bernadette... Actually, I don't know her last name. She had gotten back from some intense undercover work at one of the Colazioni's known hideouts, and was still adjusting. I know what that's like. She was talking to a rookie. Rather nice-looking woman, if I should be so bold.
So don't worry, honey. I'll take good care of you. You'll be riding around today with me. No pressure. Just be sure to... Oh, Officer Spinelli. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm fine. How have you been?
I'm just peachy. Officer Spinelli, this is Officer McMillan.
Pleasure to meet you, Officer.
Spinelli, Travis Spinelli. She extended her hand. Working on instinct, I went to kiss the back of it. While bringing her hand up to my lips, I had a sudden change of heart and decided to opt instead for an awkwardly pinched handshake. It didn't come off well. Welcome to the team.
Thank you.
Good luck out there, officers. I've got to go file things. I left with all speed, feeling my face rouge with each passing step. When I got to my office, I realized I had forgotten both my coffee and donut. Whoopsie doodle. I sat down at my desk, the impatient gurgle of hunger gnawing at my stomach. Great. Lonely, hungry, and embarrassed. The only way this could be worse is...
There you are. Hey, I got you something.
Speak of the devil. Brody walked in with an orange crate. Inside were two sets of coffee and donuts. I was genuinely surprised. He never does stuff like this. I stood up to collect the glad tidings he brought in, when he reached into his pocket and tossed a silver pancake at me.
Here you go. This is my lucky coin. 1889 silver dollar. Took it with me all the time for field work, but now I figure I won't need it anymore. Seeing as I'm getting the commissioner job and all.
Oh, thanks. Brody, you know I would never ask this, but I was wondering if I could swipe one of those coffees and a donut from you.
Why?
Well, I forgot to make myself breakfast this morning.
Why can't you just go get yourself one?
Look, I just can't right now. Would you mind?
But then, if you took one of my coffees and donuts, I wouldn't have two anymore. For me.
Yeah.
I'm not following you.
You know what? Just forget I said anything.
All right. Hey, you don't mind if I start packing my stuff, do you?
Be my guest. I watched Brody put the contents of his desk, which essentially boiled down to a photo of his mother, his gun, and a large stone he found on the sidewalk that he had taken to using as a paperweight, into the orange crate. He sat down and without a word inhaled both donuts and drained both cups of coffee. He then gazed blankly at the corner of our office with a listless look on his face. I, on the other hand, hunkered down to my busy work. Sorting, writing reports, that kind of thing. It's not my favorite part of the job, but you have to do it. After a good half hour of work, I felt the need to utilize the facilities. I was walking towards the bathroom, when I stumbled and fell smack dab into the DA's path. Oh boy, sorry, Mr. Murdoch.
Hey, watch. Oh, Officer Spinelli. Here, let me help you up. Are you alright?
I'm swell. Just that inner ear thing acting up again. Mr. Murdoch, you okay? You're not looking so hot.
Oh, I had a long night. Spinelli, are you busy right now?
Me? Oh, no, I was just headed for the...
Good. Can you come with me to the commissioner's office? There's something I need to talk to you about.
Sure. Yeah, I can make the time. I walked with D.A. Murdoch down to Commissioner Graham's old office. I didn't want to assume, but I was almost certain I was about to get commissioner. Really, it makes the most sense when you get right down to it. Even though I'd only been here for 5 years, I had more seniority than most other officers. Plus, I'm squeaky clean. Well, I'm cleaner than anyone else around this place, and dang it, I deserve this. I entered the office with my head held high, my chest puffed out, and who is that in the commissioner's chair?
Officer Travis Spinelli, I'd like to introduce you to the city's new police commissioner, Warren Brulé.
Good morning.
I was crushed. He extended his hand, which I shook like a dead fish. I analyzed him as I shook. He was a man of medium build with coarse dark hair in abundance. He had a relaxed posture behind the desk, but something didn't read right about him. Something was just off.
As one of the most senior officers, I'd like you to explain to Commissioner Brûlé how everything works around here. I do it myself, but I have some pressing matters to attend to.
I'll do my best, sir. I watched as an emotionless, disheveled Murdoch walked out the door. Well, let's get started. What would you like to know, Commissioner Brûlé?
Brûlé. With a little accent over the E.
Oh. Well, all right. What would you like to know, Commissioner Brûlé?
Nothing, I'm good. I'm more of a learn-as-I-go kind of guy anyway. Smoke?
No, thanks.
That's tasty. You're dismissed, I guess. Bye-bye.
I walked back to my office, completely downcast. The guy didn't even seem to care, and now he's in charge of the city's police force. I sat down at my desk, completely ignoring the fact that Brody had not flinched from his position for at least an hour. After several minutes, he finally keyed into the fact that I had moved at some point.
Oh, hey. Where were you?
With the new commissioner in his office.
No, seriously, where were you?
With the new commissioner in his office.
That's not true. You're not making sense.
With that, Brody got up and walked out the door. He came back 3 minutes later.
I don't believe it.
I know, right? The man has no sense of... He just doesn't seem to care about anything.
What? No, I don't believe that. I didn't get it.
Brody started to rant, but I didn't acknowledge him. I'd learned over the past few months that if you ignore something Brody says, that, after a time, he will simply resume his critical analysis of the coroner. I couldn't focus on work. I couldn't focus on anything. I'd say I'm a pretty put-together guy, but I got pretty peeved. I put in a full day of rushed, unenthusiastic work and clocked out. I passed by my partner saying nothing. I wasn't particularly in the mood for any Brodyisms. I started to walk home, but couldn't shake the thought of how good a trip down to Glen sounded. So I turned and headed down in that direction.
Welcome to... Oh, hey Travis. Where's Harry?
I don't know. I didn't come with him. Say, you know those special drinks you mix for him when he's feeling really down?
Oh, yeah. How specialty?
Give me three of them.
I don't know if that's a great idea.
Glenn, just trust me, I need them.
All right. Three knockouts coming up.
He mixed them in no less than 15 seconds. Impressive. The smell of them alone was enough to get a lightweight drinker buzzed. And boy, was I that. Let alone the fact that I realized I hadn't had anything to eat all day. My God, Glenn. These drinks are... they're so good. So good.
Thanks. You okay?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll be What? I leaned too far over on the bar stool, toppling over onto another table. It's okay, just put it on my tap.
My new blouse! Oh, buddy, you're going to... Officer Skagnatovich?
Yeah, close enough. Apparently the people I fell back on were none other than Officer Bernadette and the rookie McMillan.
Officer Spinelli, are you okay?
Yeah, I have this inner ear thing. Also, I'm very drunk.
Really? We couldn't tell.
Sarcasm. I enjoy that in a lady.
Sir, you are speaking to a fellow police officer. I urge you to cease and desist immediately.
Oh, come on, cutie. Don't treat me like... I was told later by Glenn that I had made a, quote, brazen overture to her, and she reciprocated by punching me in the stomach. Okay, I was a little strong. My fault.
I can't take this pig anymore. Bernadette, good night. I'll see you tomorrow.
She's gotten moxie.
What's gotten into you, Spinelli? I've never seen you like this before. Did something bad happen today?
It's the new commissioner. You have no idea how badly I wanted that job, Bernadette. I've strived and strived to be the best that I could be, and what do I get for it? Some hairy little Frenchman who doesn't give a damn sitting in what should be my seat.
Spinelli, I think you've had quite enough. Let's get you home.
All right. Bye, Glenn.
Have a good one. Some people just cannot hold their alcohol.
Bernadette drove me home and walked me up to my apartment. I thanked her, ashamed at what I had done. I grabbed my blanket, laid down on my couch, and went right to sleep. Another day. Only this one started out with a massive hangover. How does Harry do it? I showered and sat down to an empty bowl once again. Luckily, someone told me about these things called... kicks or punts or something like that. It's a cold cereal you pour milk over and eat. Apparently it's been around for a while. Wasn't half bad. I walked down to the station, changed, and went directly into my office. I didn't see either officers McMillan or Bernadette. Brody was in when I got in, saying nothing, intent on finding out every mystery locked in the corner of our office.
May I come in?
By all means, Mr. Murdoch.
Excuse me, Officer Brody?
Huh?
Would you mind?
Not at all.
That means leave.
Oh, all right.
What seems to be the problem, sir?
Officer Bernadette told me about last night.
Oh.
I just wanted to tell you, I pulled for you, Travis, but I got Brulé's name from a judge in the area. Everything seemed to check out at first. But now, truth be told, the whole thing's starting to look a little fishy. I'll have you know I'll be damned if I let a corrupt cop control our city from his back pocket. An investigation is being conducted currently. I'll keep you posted, and if anything should turn up, I'll let you know.
And with that, he quietly left the office. I sat in silence for a few seconds, then got right back to work. I didn't want to get back to work. Truth be told, I didn't want to come in at all today, but there was a job, and it had to be done. That's all. Like it or not, we all have to do our jobs. D.A. Murdoch knows that firsthand. Come hell or high water, as comfortable as I was, or as afraid and ashamed as I was, I had to do my job. That's what separates all the dirty cops from the city's finest.
Part 1 of the case files, At What Cost, was written by Mark Zurich. The cast was Brandy George as Judge Gray, Rose, and Mother. Jennifer Momenzada as Ellen Campbell, Casey, an amazed woman. Drake Nestor as D.A. Robert Murdoch, commercial announcer, and bailiff. Drake Nestor as D.A. Robert Murdoch, bailiff, commercial announcer, and Frank. Lucas Tomasacci as announcer, Coy Bateman, an amazed man. And Mark Zurich as Matthew Campbell, foreman and radio announcer. Part 2 of the case files, The City's Finest, was written by Lucas Tomasacci. Our cast was Brandy George as Officer Bernadette, Drake Nestor as D.A. Robert Murdoch, Jennifer Momenzada as Officer McMillan, Lucas Tomasacci as announcer and Officer Spinelli, and Mark Zurich as Officer Brody, Commissioner Brulé, and Glenn. Can't get enough Harry Flynn? Log on to www.harryflynn.wikia.com or find us on Facebook, where all our previous episodes are available for download.